हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा वीर्यविषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Ki Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 19, Devotional Service and Pure Love of Godhead. Okay, verse 1-4-19. Sneha and other advanced stages are the manifestations of prema, but because they are rare, even in those who have practiced bhakti, the distinctions will not be described here. Right, they'll be described later. Because it's rare, so there's no need to describe it, trying to introduce devotional service. 1-4-20. Sri Sanatan Goswami, my master, has clearly described all the sweetness of the conclusions of bhakti in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, though it is very esoteric. Srila Prabhupada, the affection and dealings of love that are different branches of the original tree of love precede many varieties of affectionate manifestations that will not be discussed here. These different manifestations have been described by Sanatan Goswami in his Bhagavatamrita. Although the subject of such affections and dealings of love is very confidential, Sanatan Goswami has described them very explicitly. 1-4-21. May the Eternal Lord, in the beautiful form of a cowherd boy, who distributes his mood of love to Rama and other forms, be pleased with this first part of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. 1-4-22. May the person named Sanatana Goswami, who glorified Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Rupa Goswami, and bestowed Krishna Prema to Raghunath Das Goswami, be pleased with this first section of the ocean of nectar. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Rupa Goswami thus concludes his first division of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, offering up his treatise for the transcendental pleasure of Sanatana Goswami, who has established the transcendental beauty and of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. It appears from this statement that the great Srila Jiva Goswami was not yet active when Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was written. Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse has two meanings. In relation to Krishna, the form of the cowherd boy expands himself into the avatar form such as Rama. Krishna is the source of all avatars, the avatari. He fulfilled the aspirations of the worshippers of the other forms. This expresses the great mercy of Krishna. Taking another meaning, the author mentioned four contemporaries. The second name mentioned is Sri Rupa Goswami, the writer of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The first and third mentioned, Gopal Bhatta and Raghunath Bhatta, are Rupa's friends. The fourth, Sri Sanatana Goswami, is the elder brother, the author of this work. Bhava in this verse means Krishna Prema. Thus ends the fourth wave concerning Prema Bhakti in the eastern section of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Here ends the eastern section. So you see Prabhupada doing the endings of his chapters and that like this. He's coming from Srila Rupa Goswami. And then, Prabhupada then doing, thus ends the Bhaktivedanta summary study of the first division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu up to the divisions, descriptions of ecstatic love of Godhead, which are to follow next. End of fourth wave of the eastern section entitled Prema Bhakti. Mm-hmm.
Nice. To study the other section, are we supposed to realize the first section?
It's always good. That's always good. That would be the ideal. But why are you being so humble?
We flip back then?
Huh?
We flip back then and start over?
No. Yes.
In Ujjwala Neelamani, this verse is quoted, the last verse saying that this is not mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that what is not mentioned there, then he elaborates it there in Ujjwala Neelamani.
Yes, because otherwise these aspects are there. Unless one's appreciating the pastimes themselves, the distinction won't be actually appreciated. Because the point is the intellectual aspect, like we saw. Prabhu had mentioned, we were saying about the difference Asakti and Bhava. Then it was pointed, the acharyas pointed out that it was because one, you intellectually start the whole process and then you move into that attachment. And the other one, it just comes spontaneously. Then, at another place, you know, there, then the acharyas were describing the difference between ruchi and asakti. And it was ruchi is, you know, has that intellectual aspect and asakti doesn't. Right? So they're talking about a different thing. The one is, no, I have to do this, not that. The other one is they start to, you know, peg, like, oh, I should remember Krishna. And then, so the different aspects are the same. So that's the difficulty that comes down is that trying to give purely the intellectual, it's just like intellectually trying to describe the differences between all the different kinds of fruit. Yeah, that one's a little more sour, this and more this or that, but we don't know what sour is. We don't know what any of these things are. You know? Does that make sense? So it's a matter of, they're explained, that's why it says in Bhakti Rasa, in Vrihad Bhagavatam Rita, but there it's just giving a pastime, an interaction. So in there, then it can be appreciated. So he says it's very explicitly given details there. That means the expression of that, he's shown the expression, it may have been mentioned what it is, but the expression of that has been given. Does that make sense? So that sambandha aspect is given. Mm-hmm. How to practice within that, how to function within that, that Rupa Goswami will explain. But that the subject matter is there presented so you know what it is, Sanatana Goswami. So it's the same subject matter, just two different angles. So that's the difficulty. We'll say it's the same thing. The one's coming from the sambandha angle, one's coming from the abhideya angle. So, the point is, unless it can be appreciated, then you can go into detail and explain, but then what will we do with it? Okay, so that ends that section. Now we have summary of chapters 2 through 8 of the Maturya Kadambini. So that would be giving all these different aspects that are, you know, have been covered in this way, in this ocean, side of the ocean, then is here. So, development from Shraddha to Prema, right? Because that's what we were discussing about that. And then it's saying beyond that, it's not going to discuss here. It's pointing out that they are there, but it's not going to get into detail because at this point, there's not enough understood to be able to appreciate. Because we don't know what Vibhava is, Anubhava, Santri Bhava, Stai Bhava, and Satvika Bhava is. That, until that's appreciated, then you won't actually see what's going on. So, yeah. Srila Rupa Goswami writes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.4.15, Adau Shraddha Tato Sadhu Sangha Ta Bhajana Kriya Tator Narta Nivriti Syat Tato Nishta Ruchis Tata Ata Shaktis Tato Bhavas Tata Prema Yudanchati Sadakanam Ayam Premna Pradur Bhave Bhavet Pramaha. In the beginning, there must be faith. Then one becomes interested in associating with pure devotees. Thereafter, one is initiated by the spiritual master and executes the regulative principles under his orders. Thus, one is freed from all unwanted habits and becomes firmly fixed in devotional service. Right? So the unwanted habits means both in practices and in thought. Right? I say word and deed. Right? Yes. Thus one is freed from all unwanted habits and becomes firmly fixed in devotional service. Thereafter one develops taste and attachment. This is the way of sadhana bhakti, the execution of devotional service according to the regulative principles. Gradually, emotions intensify, and finally there is awakening of love. This is the gradual development of love of Godhead for the devotee interested in Krishna consciousness. Right? So, taking this one, we saw that this shloka came up right in this last chapter. Right? So, then from that, and so they're discussing the whole process coming up. But now that summary there, so taking that verse, that's the seed verse. From that, then the whole Madhurya Kadambini will be expanded. Right? So A, summary of chapters 2 through 8 of Madhurya Kadambini by Srila Chakravarti Thakura. 1. Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha. Okay. So this is all by him. Yeah. Okay. Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha. The pilgrim undertaking a journey on the path of devotion must have faith, right? So in other words, the pilgrim's journey is not a new thing. Must have faith, Shraddha. A faith synonymous with the firm conviction to act on the words and instructions of devotional scripture. So it's not just a faith of sentiment, but that conviction to act on these principles. Otherwise, it just has faith that Krishna is there and it's nice and that. You know, like the other day someone brought up the thing about, well, I've had that feeling in the heart, I don't have to follow anything and all that. So that's not the faith talked about. We're talking about the faith that comes to the practical point of conviction, so that you can apply it, so you can actually move forward to developing love for Godhead. The other one, that faith is there, and that, and you're comfortable, you know, sometimes associating with devotees and this and that, that faith is okay. But the point is it becomes serious when you have the faith to associate with devotees and move forward in Bhajana Kriya, under the instruction of the spiritual master. So we see from this, there, it's not about following the instruction of the spiritual master, because we don't need all those things that the spiritual master said. It's not about associating with devotees. So there is some faith, but that's that faith that people have to associate with devotees before they actually gain faith. You understand? Okay. Faith is of two kinds, swabhaviki, natural, and balot, padika, inspired by an external force. Faith gives birth to the desire to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master and to learn from him the proper rules and etiquettes of the devotional science. Sincerely following the spiritual master's instructions bestows upon a disciple the good fortune of wanting to associate with an elevated saint, experienced and absorbed in the same devotional mood as the disciple himself aspires for. In other words, a like-minded saintly instructor. At this point begins the stage of Bhajana Kriya, the platform of serious devotional activity. So this is the point where Krishna now takes you seriously. Right? That you've taken this, you want to follow nicely, and so you've surrendered to this, and so then he considers this very, very good. Right? So we see is that you have that faith that's there. You know, some association is there, but it's not that it's very major for you. You're comfortable with it, you know, like this. But then when that comes to the point where the faith develops, where then you're fixed in wanting to associate devotees, wanting to hear, wanting to move forward, and then actually taking that step like that, that's then where, now we'll say is that this point, the stage of Bhajana Kriya, the platform of serious devotional activities. Because right? Before that, it's devotional activities that's considered serious at this point because of the attitude, the faith. Right? In other words, faith, a little bit of faith is there, then enough where there's, you know, then you see that this is actually the real thing. Then it matures more when you take association of devotees. But then when you surrender to following the instructions there of the scientific method, the science of devotional service, following that etiquette, that time, then you can say that is serious devotional service. So we see it's come up three stages. Well, actually four if you count the, before Shraddha? Agyata Sukriti. If you count that little bit of faith there, then, you know, then it's, so in other words, it's gotten that much more mature. Yes?
If he doesn't have Shraddha, and he was only Paramahansa Bhakti, if he will be initiated by Guru, what will he do? Go with his family, tradition. What will be the result of this?
what would be the result? It depends on the individual. If they take it more seriously, it's all up to the individual how seriously you take it. Someone's born in the family of devotees means that they've practiced devotional service. They've come to this point of seriously practicing. Right? Before. But somehow or another, due to some distraction, didn't go back to Godhead. They're born in the family of devotees. Right? They didn't go to the heavenly planets. They didn't do all that kind of jazz. So, they're born in the family of devotees. Now it's up to them to take this seriously. So they're considered devotees, but according to the acharyas, then that's samanya bhakta. This is general devotee. Because they haven't made the commitment themselves. So when they make that commitment to follow devotional service, this is what is platform here, then that's solid. Then they move forward very nicely. Because they'll have less anarthas than others. But it's not saying that those anarthas that they have aren't good ones. Right? It's basically, it's like if you have 100 desires, what do you focus on? You're always distracted, but you never really focus. Now, if I remove all those desires, 90 of them, and all there is 10, you can focus much better. That's why sometimes it seems that second generation, oh, but they seem to be so much more materialistic, but they're not. They just have less desires, so it appears that they're able to focus better. Like that. But you see, they generally burn them out quicker also, because they've already, so much has been removed. So if they have good association, then they move forward quite nicely.
Yes, he said the importance to have a like-minded, friendly instructor.
Yes.
And if it is not the case.
If it's not the case,
yes.
What to do? Well, the main aspect is that devotional mood, the same devotional mood. So we see, you know, Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas, they have that same devotional mood, you know, serving Krishna and Braja. So if nothing else, we just by reading and like that, we'll get somewhere. And then those who are supportive of that, then it's all there. Because you're never going to find someone exactly the same. It means close enough. Because each soul is different. Like that. So it just means like-minded, that one, you know, wants to, following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, following the previous acharyas under Srila Rupa Goswami, you know, then serve Lord Chaitanya and serve Radha and Krishna. And then those devotees that are supportive of that, you know, that's their mood, then that's there. You know, if they're into, you know, modern moralism or the modern academy or social work or economics or, you know, administration and all these kind of things, then that's association for someone else. You know, if that's not what you're doing. But if you're into that, then that's your association. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just finding those that you're comfortable with. In other words, you can talk Krishna consciousness. You don't have to worry that every other word you say is going to create some problem. That's how you know it's like-minded. You can actually have a conversation. And those people that you have to tiptoe around, then they're acquaintances, but they're not this association. So bhajana kriya. Bhajana Kriya is divided into two parts. Anishta, unsteady. Anishta, steady. Anishta, unsteady devotional service is further divided into six gradations. Because nishta means it's fixed, right? So we don't have to worry. But the anishta has six different gradations until it becomes fixed. So getting through all these six, then it's fixed. Right? So to the degree they're through these, it's more fixed. Right? So first, utsamayi, sudden enthusiasm. You come across something new, it's different, you know, so it's interesting, so you're really enthusiastic. But then, you know, then you make all your plans off that, and then you find after some days or some weeks or months, then you're not as enthusiastic. Like that. You know, does that make sense? Does this get into the details later?
Yeah.
So this is just an overview. Yeah. So it's just there's that sudden, just that beginning, that newness, that freshness. You know, which is good. So that enthusiasm is there. That will propel you forward. But then it naturally then turns into the second one. Gana tarala. Sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes lethargic. Like, because before one, you were lethargic. Then you came across Krishna Karja, so you become sudden enthusiasm. Then it goes, because now it becomes kind of something you're regularly doing, then sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes lethargic. But still, because enthusiasm is their service, is their association, right? Because this bhajana kriya means sraddha and sadhu sangha are in place. And you have that determination, that serious platform to practice devotional service. So then I'll bring you to Vyudha Vikalpa, a stage when doubts assail one's resolve. Right? So then you have your resolve here, but you could do this, you could do that, and so, you know, so many different things. You become distracted by these doubts. So again, by association and that, going through, clearing the doubts, and all that. You know, in other words, if you cultivate the doubts, you know, so like the second one, you cultivate the lethargy, then that will become more. You cultivate the enthusiasm, that comes more. If you cultivate the doubts, you know, you associate with those same doubts, then you have a problem. If you associate with those who have conquered those or know how to deal with them, then you move forward. Then that will bring you, if you get over that one, Vishaya Sagara, a stage of internal tug of war with material sense gratification, sense enjoyment. So then Hansen, that's then when you see you can engage this in Krishna's service, but then, you know, the renunciation, you know, like this, that you're not quite sure of how to do. You know, that's where all the things, just being practical Prabhu and all that comes, that's all this state. Right? You know, does that make sense? You know, the guy was, you know, he was the real brahmachari before and that, now you meet him and now that, yeah, you know, we have to be practical, we can't be fanatic, that's this state. Niyamakshama. Although one practiced regularly, full justice is not done to the process. Right? You're committed, you're past that, the tug of war is over. Like that, but basically now you practice, but it's not always regular. You do, sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't, you know, things like that. And then, taranga rangini, attachment to wealth, adoration, distinction, and so on. It means the gross things you've dealt with, but then the subtle things come up, and then that's the problem is you can get distracted by that. So, on the ocean of bhakti, then you have all the different aspects of the devotion, but then you have all what comes along with it. Because if you have Krishna, all the different opulences, everything is there. You get distracted by those, then that becomes a problem. Does that make sense? So, we see is that different things, different places you can have problems. So, we see here, this one is that one you have to watch out for too, because that will create a problem then. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? And then, when these have all gone down, then that becomes steady devotional service. That makes sense. So the more these are removed, you know, the more steady you are. So it means as you move forward, you're a little bit more steady. Right? We move from one to two, you're more steady. Like that. Does that make sense? So just as you go, it gets more. Yes.
Does it mean that it always go in that order, or it can parallel things happen?
Yeah, means it's also, you're going to have your overall general thing, but you're going to have different areas. So it might be in your chanting, it's at one level, but in your honoring of prasad, it's at a different level. You know, it's like how you say, you know, you're chanting, you're at sudden enthusiasm, but you know, at you know, you're taking Bashad, you're at number six. You know, you're quite fixed. You know, you're you know, you're committed to taking Bashad, but you know, you want the nice Bashad, you want the this. You know, people say, "Hey, come, I saved a place." You know, all those things are important. But, you know, so any of the areas are all going on. Anything, even you'll see, even your mundane stuff goes in this way. You take up a new hobby or something, you're suddenly enthusiastic, then you go into this, and then doubts whether it's good or not. Then you become kind of committed with that, or whether I should get into something else. So it kind of follows the same thing. Then you're kind of good at it, you're fixed, but you're not as good as the Asian guy, right? And then, you know, and so, yeah, in other words, in some levels, five is going to continue forever, right? And then the sixth one is that they never get past that, generally. Very rare do you find someone who, they are really good and they're not proud of that and looking for the facilities and that. So, in any case, Maya is going to get you. Like that. So only by Krishna's grace you get past this. Right? So, okay. Yes. I would mean both, because if the mind's not, you do what the mind is doing. The mind's unstable, you're unstable. The mind's, you know.
If, for example, we can do something with the table, but sometimes our mind.
No, but then that'll be here. Maybe that's the point of doubts, or the internal tug of war, or you know, any of these, you know, from three on. But you know, maybe just by nature we can be regular, so then we're doing. But his point is it has to go. But still, if the doubts are there or the distraction of the mind, then the performance of the activity won't be as good.
For example, the good sadhana, because of our material nature, it could be.
Yes.
But if we have a doubt in mind, it means that it's not good.
It's not?
It's not
good. Yes, because you want to get them both to match, so body, mind, and word. So it means the body aspect is there, so you don't have to worry about that, because some people have to worry about all of them. So if by nature we can be regular and steady and dutiful and that's good, then you only have to worry about the mind and senses. Like that. So it just means less to work with, so it's good. Don't worry about it. Be happy. Okay, so here's where it's up. Yes?
Maharaj, this point of regular practice, is it dependent on how much time the time of sadhana is increased, then there is a regularity?
No. It's just a regularity just means that how you're able to do, just like, let's say, someone's a householder, and that they get up, they have a short time, but every day at this time they have half an hour to chant, and they do that. So that's regular. You know, and then after that, they do what they have to do. They do their occupation like this, and so regularity just means the ability to actually regulate yourself. You know, how much you eat, when you eat, what you eat. Or, you know, when you sleep, how much. Like, you're able to regulate those things. You know, now it's time for japa. You can do that every day. That's regular. You know, Mangal Artik finishes. You know, there's Tulsi Artik. After Tulsi Artik, you sit down and, you know, there and, you know, in front of the Pancha Tattva, they still do that. The curtain's open, you chant with them. A while after that, you finish the japa, like that. You know, so that would be your standard. You'd take it as the regular. We wouldn't take it after the Pancha Tattva, the curtain's closed. Now you go and do all your internet stuff. And you do it regularly, like that. We're not generally talking that. But that is also as long as you regulate everything else. Does that make sense? Yes.
And if the sadhana, amount of time for sadhana increases, that affects the schedule, then overall Maharaj mentioned it's a regular whole daily cycle. But if the amount of time for sadhana is increasing, then it affects the overall thing for a while. Then how that is taking into consideration?
So your question is about when you increase sadhana.
Increasing level of sadhana.
Okay, so just as a regular thing, start your question like that. You have a regular amount of sadhana, but you want to increase that. So you've increased it, and so now that upsets all your other aspects of the schedule. How do you deal with that? That's your question. But when you present it at about being steady and all that, then it's answered. And then you add this in, but then it's not the question. Does this make sense? So that's where we don't officially get an answer, or, oh, he didn't answer my question, or, you know. You understand? So the point is Krishna says in the Gita, you have to balance everything. So you increase how much balances with everything else. Like if you find, you have to balance, let's say, like work and recreation. But the point is it's a balance. It's not the volume. Volume is not the amount. It's not the consideration. It's what works. So for somebody, they do a lot of work and then sit down for 10 minutes and do something stupid, and for them, now it's balanced. You know, but somebody else, then they, you know, how you do that, do their, what do you call it? You know, their part-time job, you know, 3 days a week, and then they got to go party all weekend to, you know, balance it. You know, so it's just, you know, everybody's an individual. So you have to find what works for you. So if by increasing the sadhana that throws everything else off and it won't work, then don't increase so much. Increase a little bit. That's why it's called a gradual process. You know, instead of going from 16 rounds to, you know, 1 lakh, you know, you might prior gradation. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, or from eating, you know, three times a day down to eating one day time a day. You know, don't do that. You do things, or, you know, from sleeping 8 hours down to four. Don't do that. What is this? No, but what's this? What this are you in talking about?
Are you talking about Bhajana Kriya?
Yeah, yeah. Fifth point here.
The fifth point?
Yeah. Amount of sadhana, Maharaj.
How much you can fit in? You have to sleep, right? You know, you're going to take a bath. You're going to, you know, you're going to eat. You know, you have your service that's expected from you. And so all the rest of that time you can do sadhana. It's just a matter of how much time you have. So it's not a volume of time. You know what I'm saying? Times are given to give an indication, like Prabhupada says, an occupation. You know, ideally you don't spend more than 8 hours a day. So if you consider that, then, you know what I'm saying? So because... then if you take do use more than 8 hours, then you're going to take out of sadhana and family time, right? So you don't want to do that, right? Because if you take out of sadhana, I mean, if you take out of family time, they get grumpy. Take out of sadhana, you get grumpy, right? And then if you get grumpy, the family gets more grumpy. So it's not good, right? I remember one devotee, I think he'd been a temple devotee, and somehow he had married a girl who had just, like, visited the temple and somehow another like this. And so she wasn't a practicing devotee. But she married him because he was. And then one time he got, you know, involved something work and some politics at work, and he was, you know, it was too mental and wasn't chanting his rounds, and he was getting grumpy. And, you know, one day she came up to him and said, "I married you because you're a devotee, so why aren't you chanting?" He was like, "Okay." Chanting his rounds. Right? Okay. So then you have to consider that. It's an indication because of the what you have to consider. Right? Now let us say the family's staying in Calcutta, but you're in Patna doing service, and that's where you're making your money. Like that. Normally it'd be the other way around, but somehow or another that's how it came out of my mouth, right? So the family's not there, right? So other than calling them or, you know, interacting, you don't have to spend that much time. You could work more, and by working more, you can be less in Patna and more in Calcutta. Right? But you wouldn't want to affect your sadhana. Does that make sense? Like that. Or someone's considering, well, if I work at this job, you know, I'm only getting this much, but then the commute's only like, you know, 20 minutes, you know, like that. But at this other place, it's 2-hour commute, but I'll get so much more money. But then that you're getting more money, but that 2 hours is coming out of sadhana or family time. So that's why these things are given. It's not that it's an exact formula. It's personal. So you have to work it out yourself. What works? You put in what works. Like that. Try more this way, try more that way. And it's a gradual process. Okay? Say again? I couldn't hear.
On the level of nishta.
On the level of nishta.
Can material desires appear in mind?
Why can't it appear? Is there some rule that, you know, it can't appear?
I thought maybe mind could
be. It's saying 75% stable. So 25% chance is there. Okay?
It can be nice if it is forbidden for the material desire to come. It is probably done to the left.
Yeah, yeah, you know, you just somebody stands at the door and says, sorry. Sounds like that. You know, like that. And he says, really? But he wasn't. Yes, Ed, this morning, 7 o'clock. Ishta. You can try the neighbors. They're still on the Gana Tarala. Yes. Okay, thanks for the pointer. Right?
But the problem is already inside the house.
No? Yeah, but... Yeah. Yeah, that's why when you open the door, you have that little chain. So one, utsamayi, sudden enthusiasm. Let us first discuss the beginning stage of bhajana kriya, the stage of utsamayi. When a young student begins higher education, he is very proud, thinking himself to be a praiseworthy scholar. Right? Not even just a scholar, but a praiseworthy scholar. Right? Right, because when he comes home, right, his mother, oh, what did you learn? Oh, where's this, that, you know. Such thoughts encourage the student to apply himself and to perform well. So because of that, that's why it's done, because then he'll work harder. Similarly, when a novice commences spiritual life, he takes to it so enthusiastically, thinking himself to be somebody special. And I'd heard some other temples on that. There was the opinion that when you take up devotional service, like, I think then from when you start, then it was kind of like projected in 3 years you'd come to Prema.
We thought
two.
In our temple, we thought 2 years.
2 years? Wow. Okay, well. Yeah.
And better sadhusanga. And better sadhusanga.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so like that. But because of that, then you endeavor, you try. But if there's pride and there's no endeavor, then there's a useless position. So that's why if someone's proud and doesn't do something, then you know it's not balanced. That they're a little proud, especially if they're not so mature. You encourage them as long as they don't go off the rails. If they do, then you have to chastise them and like this. You have to balance it. So it's just that. But you see is that their understanding is not actually very clear, but because of that, they perform devotional service. That's the position. That's what's good. So if you say, oh no, but they shouldn't be proud, but then that's why they're working. So it's encouraged. Like you see little kids, they take that first step, oh wow, you know, like this. You encourage. Two, Gana Tarala, sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes lethargic. The example of the same young scholar explains the stage of Gana Tarala. At times, the student concentrates deeply on his studies, but sometimes, because of his inability to understand something, he becomes apathetic. In devotional activities, the neophyte goes through similar spells of opposing attitudes, sometimes enthusiastic and other times lethargic. That's why then you study at your level of understanding. Right? That's the whole point. Because if you go beyond that, then what's going to be the point? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Is this similar to Bhogtyag?
Yes, kind of like that. But it's more just on the enthusiasm of being involved and not. Because that Bhogtyag kind of thing is more this next stage.
Okay.
Like that. But, it just basically means you're doing and then you're not doing.
Right.
Like that. But it can be applied there. Let's say you're taking up some, you want to be very austere and all that, then you'll see as you'll go into it and be really, really austere, and then there'll be times you won't. So that'll be there. So you enthusiastically go into it. It works great. You're inspired, so then you really go into it, and then you find sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. So on that, it will be. It'll be applied there. It's just a matter of, here's just generically on whatever the service. But if you're applying it to controlling the senses, then it would be, you'd see that at this stage. You know, it's like a, you know, he's not eating anything and all that, and then the next thing you know, he's in the go-down just eating everything that, you know, he can get his hands on. Right? Yeah. Okay, three. But because he does concentrate, he'll advance. And then when he's not, then that's weak. So you always encourage there. I like that. Three. Vyuta vikalpa, stage when doubts assail one's resolve. Vikalpa is an interesting stage on the path of spiritual life. Sometimes the devotee thinks, I shall convince my wife and family to become Vaishnavas and serve the Supreme Lord. I shall convert my house into a temple and remain there happily, practicing devotional service. At other times he thinks, I shall leave my family, home, and the rest of my worries behind me and go to Vrindavan. I shall reside there for it is the holiest of places, and I shall cultivate devotional surrender through the 9 practices of devotion. Or he will say, ultimately, I have to give up my home and all my other attachments. Then should I not first plunge into the pool of sensual pleasures until I am satisfied? Right? So he just goes back and forth and all these kind of things.
Right?
Yes.
He would say that on that level, if the person tolerates that, then he advances, and even at the later stages, it still can pop up in his mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people are like that, that's their nature.
That's just the mental condition. That would be there. But as far as the position in their practice, you just have to see in general how they're practicing in the general mood. So you have to apply this to the individual. So if someone is less mental, you'll see that this will be a more minor thing. Though it's there, it may be there. And someone else who's more mental, it may be a more major aspect. But, they'll doubt anything. Can I chant my japa? Can I hold on to the beads? Will they fall out of my hand? Like that kind of stuff. So. Right. So these doubts, so the point is if you continue to be engaged in service, the point is whether you're at home or whether you go to the fort, be engaged in service. That's the whole point. But it has to be something that you can maintain. So that's the difficulty. Or he may think, the scriptures speak of family and wife being like a dark and dismal well. Should I not leave home this very moment? Right? Because this is then just after he thought, so if I'm going to go to Vrindavan and renounce, but first, you have to clear your material desires, so therefore I should plunge into that and really get into applying my senses in that sense. But then the scriptures also like this. Should I not leave home this very moment? Right? Maybe the other way he's saying, I shall leave the family, so I'm working in that direction. Now he's saying, I should leave this moment, right? Yeah. Sometimes the scriptures encourage me to perceive that this material life, family connections, wife, children are abominable, and to renounce them. Yet, how can I do that? My parents are old and infirm. Who will take care of them? Besides, if I should leave home prematurely with my material desires to enjoy still unfulfilled, my mind will continue to dwell on sense pleasures until my final days. Right? Because it's always an extreme, right? This would be a disaster. Therefore, I can understand from my own thoughts that I am too weak to follow the Lord's instructions and renounce family life. For now, I shall live simply. When the proper time comes, I shall hasten to Vrindavan and spend my days and nights in deep meditation on the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. When Bhajanakriya goes through this state of doubt and vacillation resolve, it is known as Yudhavikalpa. But he's going through this, but then he understands his position. Because, the Chanakya's instructions. If you don't know whether to eat or don't eat, don't eat. And if you don't know whether to travel or not travel, don't travel. Right? And if you don't know whether to get married or not get married, get married. Right? So here, then that's the whole principle that's there, is that he's not sure, he's at the senses and this, so therefore stay, that's what household life is for. That's what the position's for. Engage the senses. Like that. And then, so he works it out, but he goes through this whole thing, like that. Does that make sense? Okay, 4. Now it makes sense. I've always heard 4 translated as war with Maya. But here, okay. Vishaya Sangara. A stage of internal tug-of-war with material sense enjoyment. Vishaya Sangara is the stage when conflicting doubts and arguments are resolved in the devotee's heart, and he is convinced about the path of renunciation. Right? So the one before, he's going back and forth in that. So this renunciation means it's connected to Krishna. Because you can see before, when he's talking about sense gratification, it's about himself. It's not about engaging the senses in Krishna's service. He just knows that's where he is and whatever's the position, because he's not really making so much of that distinction. So at this stage now, one sees that it's about serving Krishna. Mm. So whether that means it's renunciation externally, whether it just means he's absorbed in Krishna and sees everything connected to Krishna, and so he's not going to be engaged otherwise, it doesn't matter the position. Mm. Scriptures state that just as an object lost in the West cannot be found in the East, similarly, a person engrossed in materialistic activities will never become attached to Krishna. Right? Because you're dealing in the wrong area. The devotee feels that his desires for sensual enjoyment are forcing him towards fulfilling him. So his attraction for chanting and devotional service become weak. Therefore, he thinks he should immediately discard those desires and wholeheartedly chant the holy name. Although, even in the process, he may sometimes fall victim to sense gratification. The devotee still remains convinced of the scriptural truth that perfection can be achieved through devotional service. And although he may fall prey to sense enjoyment, he rebukes himself and feels remorseful, always continuing his devotional practices. Right? So it's not stopping, because if it's stopping means it's not this level. Right? Then it's a lower level. You know, it's like sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. He's enthusiastic, then he's not. Or, you know, or is the doubts kind of all those things coming like this. Here is that he's convinced that pure devotional service is the only method. Devotional service is the only thing that will actually give you the results you want. Nothing else will. But they're not necessarily always fixed in being able to keep to that position. Right? But does that make sense? So the level, yeah, okay. Yes. The devotee still remains convinced of the scriptural truth that perfection can be achieved through devotional service. And although he may fall prey to sense enjoyment, he rebukes himself and feels remorseful, always continuing his devotional practices. They don't stop. It's not that something goes wrong and then you stop chanting your japa and don't go to... No. Those all go on. Thus, the devotee wages a war against his desire for sense gratification. Sometimes the victor, sometimes the defeated. When he does fall victim, the devotee at the stage of unsteady devotional service still feels regret and revulsion at his weakness. Right? So it's not that it's correct or it's okay. He's not trying to justify it. That comes up in the platform before this.
Maharaj, this level is quite fixed.
Yes, this is fixed. It's quite fixed. But you see as... the practice is, it's really not always happening. It's different from the next one, as we'll see, is that, in other words, you're fixed in conviction, but you're not necessarily in practice because of previous, you know, habit, yes, habit, also the samskars, impressions, yeah. So, like this. So you get that. So, but there is that. It's not that it means you do things that shouldn't be done. Mm-hmm. The next one is distinguished. You have problem. You don't have problem doing what shouldn't be done. You don't do that. You have problem doing what should be done. Mm-hmm. You understand? So it's more advanced. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So niyamakshama. Although one's practice regularly, one practices regularly, full justice is still not done to the process. Right. So that's the fifth. Right, so when the other one, the tug of war with Maya, that war with Maya, is, you come beyond that, then you get to this next. So you don't have the distractions of Maya, but you still don't necessarily have the drive of devotion.
Yes.
You understand? It's just like you have removal of the negative, but it's not necessarily the positive is that strong as yet. So it's not yet. The next stage of unsteady devotional service is niyamakshama, where the devotee vows to increase his devotional activities. He resolves to chant 64 rounds daily, offer 100 prostrated obeisances to the deities and the Vaishnavas, serve the senior devotees, avoid talking about mundane topics, shun the company of materialistically minded people, and so on. Daily he makes these vows, but at the last moment he is unable to honor them. The difference between Vishaya Sangara and niyamakshama is that the former, the devotee is helpless to give up material sense pleasures, and in the latter, he is unable to increase and improve his devotional activities. You understand? Because we are tatasta, we're neutral. The nature is to be involved in the positive. because we're Satchitananda. So made of that, but we're generated from that neutral state. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So then it's just a matter of you giving up the one that you haven't then fixed in the other. Mm-hmm. We'll see, is the same thing is there, because we're saying it's here. This is the main point of Ardhartha Nivritti. But you'll also see it's this there on the platform of Bhava.
Yes.
Is that you're there, you're not doing anything wrong, but at the same time you're not one-pointedly, exclusively focused on Krishna to bring you to Purvarag. Yes. And so not having that kind of attachment, then one doesn't come to that platform of Suru, to Siddhi. Yes. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the same principle, but it's very, very fine there.
Yes.
You know, here's the grosser aspect. So this is going on all the time.
Yes.
It's just that here, this is the major focus. But it's the same thing as going on before you come in contact with devotional service. Well, should I do or not? But, you know, I'm fine. I don't want to get too involved. But, you know.
At any level.
But at this level, at Bhajana Kriya, this is where you'll see the prominence of where these come out very, very obvious. Yes. And others, they'll just be more light aspect. It's always that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then, Taranga Rangini. Attachment to wealth, adoration, distinction, and so on. Now let us discuss Taranga Rangini, the last stage of Anishta devotional service. In describing the nature of bhakti, it is said that everyone is attracted towards the reservoir of bhakti, the devotee. The devotee himself becomes a treasure house of good qualities and mercy. These characteristics attract people who, in turn, crown the devotee with wealth, adoration, distinction, and position. Although these accolades come to him as byproducts of bhakti, they nevertheless may stunt the spontaneous growth of the creeper of devotion if he uses them for his self-aggrandizement. Taranga means waves, and Rangini means play. Therefore, in the vast unlimited ocean of bhakti, these byproducts are waves that create tempests in devotional life. That means you have the waves, you have these waves, but if you're just engaged in them in devotional service, they're just waves in devotional service. But if you play in these waves, trying to get your own enjoyment, that's where this comes up. The devotee aspiring for pure devotion sees these waves to be harmless. Only gleefully playing and cresting. Right? They're harmless. They're just gleefully playing and cresting, so he doesn't worry about it.
Mm.
They'll come up. It's not that they go away. It's just that they'll come up. But he's not interested in playing in these waves. Does that make sense?
Mm.
You're like kids are sitting and playing, but it's not, you've just got to get down there and, you know, play with them and all that. And they've gone away, you know, and you're still playing and, you know, like that. No. Does that make sense?
If we are not interested in pure devotion, we can be...
Then you get distracted. That's why if the focus is not on pure devotion, then you will get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the devotee aspiring for pure devotion sees these ways to be harmless, right? So he's aspiring for pure devotion means, if you're aspiring for it, means you're aware of it. You're aware of it means you know about it. You know about it because it's being discussed.
Mm-hmm.
It's being practiced.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're saying it's not enough to just, you know, focus on, let's say, managing even its service for Krishna, but you also have to see how it's service to Krishna. You have to see that you're not getting distracted by it. It has to be that why you're doing it is to please Krishna in pure devotion. Then nothing changes. Just that attitude is clear, you move forward. But if one thinks that, no, how good the structure of the management is, that will then define bhakti, then we've missed the point. Then we can get distracted. Yes, then that's that. That's what it's talking about. Dhanam, na janam, na sundaram. He's talking about this level. Like that. Because if you give up this level, it means you've already accomplished the other. So we don't have to go through and mention all six of them. You just have to mention this one, and then it's done. Right? So that brings you to being fixed. Yeah, they're just connected with Krishna. It's a byproduct. It's not a major point. So, yes. So, we also just have to see this in the context that, let's say, someone like Bharat Maharaj or something. This will be this distraction. You understand? Or, you know, senior devotees fall away. They're falling away from this distraction. Or some other, they're not falling away because it's the same as the new bhakta. So one should never try to equate them. You know, oh, they fell down, they're never a devotee. But the point is no, where they fell down, you know, unless you're more advanced, you don't fall down from there.
They sent by Krishna and because of Krishna, but in mind to feel pleasure that he has followers.
But what's the point of the followers?
I mean, people glorify someone.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he has pleasure in the followers, then it just means it's a distraction. Because what's the pleasure? Pleasure just because they're followers, or pleasure because they're following him? That means they're engaged in devotional service. So they're happy to see people engaged in devotional service and happy to be an instrument to engage people in devotional service. Then it's just a side thing. These things come up. Sometimes things are there more and sometimes it's not. Because you see, that's what the Python Sadhu was saying. You know, because Prahlad Maharaj was asking, why is he so fat? You know, and he says, sometimes I'm fat, sometimes I'm thin. You know, it's just that sometimes more comes along, you eat, you get fat. You know, sometimes, you know, nothing comes along, so you get thin. So it's just, you know, what's the big deal?
Interesting philosophy.
Huh?
Interesting philosophy.
Yeah, because it's just they're not worried about it. Like that. You know, so sometimes you see many people come and they're all glorifying, they're all this, and other times, you know, it's like you can't even get a seat on a bus. You know, so it just it's the way it goes. You know? So it's like Narad Muni, right? Son of Lord Brahma, right? Senior most, basically other than him and his brother, Lord Shiva, then the senior most and his father, they're the senior most of all the demigods. You know, it means hands down in the universe. But one time when he's coming to visit somebody, I don't remember who, then Prabhupada mentions in the purport that a saintly person, if they don't get anything to eat, they just drink water. And Prabhupada mentioned this occasion, Narad Muni had been drinking water for 3 days. So here's Narad Muni, and he's getting no food. And he's Narad Muni. So it happens. And other times, then he's there, Yudhishthira Maharaj is, you know, taking care of him so nicely and everything like that. And other times, nothing to eat. You know, it's just the way it goes. So that's what he means, this gleefully playing and cresting. They just come up, they go. Because when they crest, it means they're not there anymore. That's how a wave works. Comes up, but then it's gone. So it's just, they just come, they go. You don't take them seriously. But if you take them seriously, you know, uses them for self-aggrandizement, that's the point. That they engage them, that's not what's wrong, because you're engaging in devotional service, they're coming from devotional service. But if it's for self-aggrandizement, that's where the problem is. So some say, oh no, but he's using that, he's engaging these people, why he's doing that? But that's dry renunciation. That has nothing to do with bhakti. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's like that. Okay. Okay, so some fun. So that was... Yes. Bhajana Kriya. Okay, so this is Anishta Bhajana Kriya. And Nishta Bhajana Kriya then puts you on the other side. Then you have Anartha Nivriti, and then it has its levels. Yes. Where they're coming from, the Anarthas, and how much they're gone.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.